Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wally Butterworth introducing and narrating another program for the Defensive Legion and the Christian Voters and Buyers League. We have a partner in this recording, a real live mockingbird, the pride of Dixie. You'll recognize at once that Billy the Mockingbird is a great and loyal patriotic American. He won't stand for any nonsense on forced integration and mongrelization, either from the Kennedys or their high yaller bedfellow, Martin Luther King and his ilk. That also goes for banker-trader Rockefeller and his anti-publicans, like Barry Morris Goldwater, the top vice president of Metro Government and member of the NAACP. Fortunately for us, Billy the Mockingbird makes his home on the estate of our Defensive Legion president, James R. Venable, at Stone Mountain, Georgia. Being a student, being a graduate of strictly segregated schools, you'll soon realize that Billy is very smart, and he speaks mighty intelligent English. Because he speaks many languages, he's called a mockingbird, but in reality, he is a nightingale. On these wonderful moonlit nights, he sings into the wee small hours of the morning. He's a beautiful trim-lined bird, exposing a broad band of white across the tip of his wings and tail when he flies. Allow me to introduce him to you, this staunch patriot of constitutional government, Billy the Mockingbird. Thank you, Billy. Now, first, I want you to say my first name, Wally. Can you do that? Now, try my last name, Butterworth. That's pretty good, young man. Now, just a minute, young man. Don't you know it isn't polite to whistle that way at pretty girls going by? I'm ashamed of you, Billy. And never mind laughing about it. It's no laughing matter. Yes, I know she's a pretty girl and sweet. Don't worry about it. I have some questions to ask you. Now be serious. First of all, young man, I want to check up on your homework. You didn't do so well last month, particularly in arithmetic. Now I want to hear your first count from 1 to 20. Never mind the squawking. Count from 1 to 20. Now, Billy, you know there weren't 20 counts there. I only counted 18, and besides, they weren't counts at all. They sounded more like squawks. Now, let's take it easy and use a pretty voice. I want you to count first to 6, then to 3, and then to 4. Now, use a nice voice. Attaboy, Billy, that's fine. But you had a lot of trouble counting up to 6 last week, so we're going to try it again. Fine, Billy, and now try the 4. That's wonderful, and you're using such a pretty voice, too. Now, I can't give you 100 in arithmetic today, because you missed that count from 1 to 20, but I will give you 98%. And tomorrow we're going to learn to count all the way to 30. What is that word you said? Well, it doesn't sound like what I thought it was, but never mind, Billy. We'll go ahead. Now, Billy, you know you're not called a mockingbird for nothing. You mock everything in sight, and you do it beautifully, sometimes even more beautifully than the original, particularly birds. And I want you to mock some of your friends in the feathered family. All right, let's take first your first cousin, the thrush. He's a beautiful bird, just like you are, and a beautiful singer, too. If Fine, Billy, but I've heard you give many more beautiful thrush calls than that. Now try another. Wonderful, Billy. Beautiful. And you know, I've heard you imitate so well, or mock so well, both the woodpecker and the flicker. Try it, will you? Aha, there's your brother Johnny Mockingbird I hear in the background. And now that old scoundrel, the Blue Jay, or as they call him down here, the Jaybird. Fine. Billy, I heard you mock a bird I didn't know was down in this neck of the woods. A killdeer. Where did you learn it? Can you do it? Well, I must be wrong. I always thought the killdeer was a cold weather bird. Ah, that's fine. And gee, it's been so long since I've heard a killdeer. Billy, you sure got a full bag of tricks today. Anything else you got in the bag, give it to us, okay? What kind of a bird do you call that? Hey, that's not a bird. That's a jew's harp. Where did you get that thing? What else you got, Billy? Well, I got the Blue Jay call. And that last one was ducks. So you've been down around Mr. Venable's lake where the ducks are, huh? Listen, young man, you'd better stay away from that pond. It's full of water moccasins. One of the neighbors killed 9 one day and 10 the next. Okay, laugh if you want, but Mr. Venable's not going to like it. By the way, Billy, what's Mr. Venable's first name? Can you say Jimmy? Boy, I'll say you can mock Mr. Venable's name, Jimmy. Let me hear you mock my whistle now, Billy. Mockingbird, when it comes to whistling, I'm going to give you the crown. You are the king. Now, Billy, you know that Mr. Venable is a very famous lawyer here in Atlanta, don't you? Well, Billy, we've got some very bad news for you. I know you don't like bad news, Billy, but here it is. The Kennedys up in Washington and the government is going to force all of the birds to mongrelize. You're going to have to integrate with the other birds. You can laugh, but I'm serious. You're going to have to share your nest and live with a blackbird, the nigras of the bird family. You know what a nigra is, don't you, Billy? That's right, they're black. Well, there you have it, Billy, and the latest word is that you have to marry a mongrelized starling. The whole riffraff Kennedy family says you do. Yes, Billy, the Kennedys. That's right, Billy, and the whole Kennedy family has intermarried politically with a high-yaller, coon-shouting preacher named Martin Luther King, a nigger. You know, Billy, there are certain things that little birds do when people whom they do not like walk underneath them while they're perched up in a tree. They drop things like bombs or torpedoes. Do you know what I mean? Well, it's a bullseye, but thank heaven it's an old hat of Mr. Venable's. Would you like to try it again, Billy, for the Kennedys? You know, Billy, I think that is exactly what the voters are going to do with this Kennedy in the next election. Him and his whole family. Drop a depth bomb on them. You know, Billy, this Kennedy has a contemptible little hook-nosed brother named Bobby. Bobby, that's right, but you're using entirely too sweet a voice for this bird. He spends his time running around integrating blacks with whites in order to get votes for his big brother in the White House. Billy, you surprise me. Somewhere along the line, you've picked up that well-known greeting, the Bronx cheer. Let me hear it again. You know, it's very sad, Billy, to think that we have a president of the United States just for niggers. Yes, that's it, Billy. A president and a treasonous political party who've betrayed our people for a black vote and sold their souls to the devil for a dollar. You know what we need, Billy? We need somebody to step up and say, "Now, you look a here, Bobby Kennedy." Can you say that? Look a here, Bobby Kennedy. Good. And you know this fool still thinks he's going to be reelected in 1964? He sure does, and that's going to be the biggest laugh of the year. What do you think? Yes, I know, Billy, but there's no use swearing at him. They're a pretty sad bunch, these Kennedys, huh? And you know, Billy, the other half of this traitor Democrat party called the Republicans are no better. They're pushing forward a phony conservative named Goldwater, but the ringleader is a traitor banker named Rockefeller. They call him Rocky. Can you say that word, Rocky? Fine, Billy. Now, don't forget it, because neither this Rocky or Kennedy are any good. But we've got good news for you now. You know, Billy, millions of people are in revolt against this government of ours. A lot of independent parties.
Several of them have decided to vote for
a wonderful man for president and another wonderful man for vice president. Their presidential candidate is Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. Did you ever hear of him? I'll say he's a pretty boy, Billy, and I'm delighted to know that all the birds have heard of him. Strom Thurmond is a wonderful man. With those men, we're gone back and live under the Constitution, Billy, instead of under niggers. Just a minute, Billy. Let's see who's in these strange cars. Don't get excited, Billy. The dogs are there. Who are they, Billy? You mean those damn Kennedys are here? Who's that with them, whites or niggers? Oh, is that so? So the Kennedys think they're going to integrate Jim Venable's home. Ha ha! Stand by. Take your observation post, Billy. We're going to teach these guys to use the back door.
Yes, Spot. Tiger. Panther. Come on. Kennedy nigger meat. Send them home, boy. Get him.
Take your dog away, Bill. Take your dog with me.
Oh, man, Billy, those Kennedys and niggers really took off in a hurry from the front yard. There's about 5 different rear ends of a pair of pants around here, all different colors. Tell me, were they moving pretty fast when they came under your tree? Well, how about the niggers? Were they making time, too? Billy, I hope you didn't forget to pay your respects to our Attorney General, Bobby Kennedy, as he passed under. Okay? Ah, dear. Ah, Billy, I guess we'll have to score one up for the old frontier. Seriously, though, Billy, your performance has been wonderful, and I think this calls for some sweet cookies and hard-boiled eggs. Just for me and you. Now, Billy, have you got a kiss? A goodnight kiss for these nice ladies and gentlemen? Will you say goodnight, Billy? Dear friends, there is a great and wonderful lesson to be learned from these little birds like Billy the Mockingbird. They're very brave little fellows. They'll swoop down on a dog or a tomcat or any other bird to protect themselves, their homes, their family, and their food. And yet they are the gentlest and friendliest of creatures, hating nobody. They'll come within a few inches of you if you're friendly, but they want to be let alone. In every bird that lives, we see the purity of racial strain preserved. And where in all life can mere man behold a lovelier creation of God? In the rarest instances where that blood strain has been violated, what an ugly, sickly, miserable monstrosity is the result. You show me an integrationist, and I'll show you the vilest of men. A political crook looking for votes, a merchant crook looking for money, an unchristian vermin looking to destroy a religion he hates. Don't you believe a word of the lies and filth written in 60 newspapers by such hyena traitors as Ralph Rastus McGill of the Atlanta Constitution. This scoundrel, member of the Bilderberger International Group of the Traitor Council on Foreign Relations, who meet in secret under assumed names to betray America, would have you believe that the South and the North will live with and mongrelize their blood with niggers because it is inevitable. Inevitable, my foot. The white man thinks exactly as those little birds do. Here is the truth. Atlanta, Georgia today is no more a southern city than is South Brooklyn in New York. And the Georgians hate Atlanta and advise you to stay away from here. Outside of Atlanta, there is no integration in Georgia, with the exception of a token spot in Savannah, a seaport town. And there is not going to be any integration in Georgia, forced or otherwise. Kennedy and his rabble don't have enough troops to enforce it. There isn't a bit of integration in Alabama or Mississippi, and there isn't going to be any. When Meredith Guards leaves Old Miss over there, he too will leave in a hurry. He's paid to stay there by the Kennedys and the Rockefellers. There is no integration in North Florida or South Carolina, and there isn't going to be any. Were it not for the Catholic Church in Louisiana, there would be none there. All right, let them gain black adherents by the hundreds. They're losing the white ones by the thousands. The South doesn't have to worry about refusing to accept integration. The North is going to decide that issue. And to do so will not mean the elimination of the niggers, but rather of their communist sponsors, financiers, and mentors, the perfidious Jews. Learn something, you vile clergy. Park your Bible in the study. And go out and visit and sit with and observe the glory and beauty and gentleness of God's angelic creatures on the wing, his birds. Sooner or later, you'll realize how truly one of our great American patriots said, You never yet found a blackbird in a bluebird's nest, unless he was there to steal the eggs. Open your eyes, ye blinded shammers of the pulpit and the hierarchy, blinded by the false colors of filthy money. Behold in the matchless heavenly splendor of the bird life of our Creator, every gorgeous color of the rainbow, and not a single color clashing with another, not a hybrid among them. Then and only then, you stupids, go back to your holy writ. Seek it out and read it there in plain black and white. If you're not willing to tell the people what you see and what you read, turn in your uniform and earn your living from some other book. The bylaws of the NAACP or the Talmud filth, for example. Until our recording next month, this is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.